The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices.
Oh, the words of Steve Voss. It's always good to hear him. Good evening, Jeff Bennett here as permanent guest host in this hour for Tuesday and Thursday evenings. We were having a discussion before going on the air, not John and I, because John was on the air, and discussion about trying to come up with a kind of a subheading for this. We will be here Tuesday and Thursday evenings. Our shot and our target, economics, protecting your wealth. It's interesting to listen to the voice of Steve. I've known Steve for, God, well over almost a quarter of a century, and he's kind of dropped out because he decided to run for public office, and he didn't make it the first time around, but he did make it the second time around. And I guess because of it, he decided he better forego the music or he might get voted out. That is typical of those of us that call ourselves conservatives. The reason we're here. We can talk about taking America back, but I think in many instances what we need to do is seriously consider about taking our own lives back. If we are not healthy physically, morally, spiritually, and financially, we can't help anybody. We can't help the nation. We can't help our neighbors. Preparedness is a part of that. The signs of the times, my friends, are everywhere. All we got to do is open up our eyes and look at them. As it relates to the investment front, the news doesn't seem to be very good. The headlines continue to scream warnings at us on a daily basis. And what I share with you here are five or six headlines from just the past few days. The madness is back. Homeowners taking out mortgages to buy bitcoins and cars and wine. Baby boomers roughly $30 trillion short on retirement savings. Middle-class families on a financial thin ice. Banks scheming to dominate a future cashless society. We've been talking to you about that for 25, 30 years, people. Headline, anyone with a pension, IRA, 401k, any wealth held inside of the system will get creamed. And this is the one I shared with John on the air the other day. What if you were told you have 78 days left to spend your old coins or bills? Question for you. For those of you who years ago decided to take some steps to protect yourself, I hate to use the word investment because it's not investment in the manner that you and I normally think of, investment in security, in a form of insurance, whatever. Maybe what were your original reasons for acquiring precious metals, gold, silver, platinum, copper in some instances? If you were like us, it was because of a weakening financial condition in America. Maybe in other cases because of your knowledge of history. What happens when a government spends as if there's no tomorrow with no concern for the future? What happens when the printing presses of any nation crank out worthless paper fiat currency around the clock? What happens when those nations who purchase American bonds one day wake up and say no more. And it's already begun to happen. Some of these headlines we've shared with you are just a few examples of our recent daily reading. There's an old adage, my friends, that says he spends like a drunken sailor. Well, even a sailor stops spending when he runs out of money. But this government does not. I don't care who's at the helm at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It's those inside of Congress that are absolutely insane on both parties. You see, the end of the modern Roman Empire draws near, no matter who resides in the White House nor the Capitol building. An interesting story I came across several days ago. And for those of you who know me, and if I neglected to do so, I am Jeffrey Bennett. My goal being here is as representative for Republic Broadcasting Network. I deal in precious metals. I have professionally since 1990, and I have personally since the age of 10. I am now 69 and a half. Make up your own mind. But I enjoy history, and it's always interesting to find a different take on history. Let me share this with you. People continue to ask questions, two in specific. Why do some people say gold is money? And secondly, should we believe those who say gold is useless and should therefore be ignored? We're going to try to answer some of those questions today. And we're going to do it by talking about cigarettes. Cigarettes and German prisoner of war camps, or I suppose in many respects, any civil war prisoner of war camp. I know for years we always talked about the prison camps that many of us may wind up in, and I always would tease and say, the smoking lamp will be lit, I'll be over in the third fence post on the left or something of that nature. Why were cigarettes used as money? There's an amazing classic paper of economic literature written a long time ago called The Economic Organization of a POW Camp, written in 1945 by R.A. Radford just months after his liberation from a German camp, which described how markets for goods and services sprung up within the camps. Famously, Radford described how cigarettes rose from the status of a normal commodity to that of currency. Fascinating read. Amongst the passages, Radford explained why the POWs ended up using cigarettes as a form of money. He states that although cigarettes as currency exhibited certain peculiarities, they performed all the functions of a metallic currency as a unit of account, a measure of value, a store of value, and shared most of its characteristics. They were homogeneous, reasonably durable, and of convenient size for the smallest or in packets for the largest transactions. It is for similar reasons, my friends, that gold has been used as money for most of recorded history. As a chemical element, gold is homogeneous. An ounce of gold is the same as any other. Gold also possesses an attribute that cigarettes do not. Its supply is tightly controlled by nature. Now, fundamental to the use of cigarettes in POW camp was their, well, relative scarcity. Outside of such an artificial environment, however, tobacco farmers can increase supply considerably if they have the incentive to do so. Now, when tobacco was used as money in colonial America, it created exactly this incentive. The resulting oversupply of the crop wreaked havoc. Gold's naturally tight supply has, of course, led to many instances in history of coins being debased or clipped. That's where a small amount of gold is shaved off the edge of a coin. In the POW camps, believe it or not, something similar happened with cigarettes. They could be clipped or sweated by rolling them between the fingers so that tobacco actually fell out into one's hands, I'm sure, ready to get rolled in some more paper. From Radford's writing, cigarettes in the POW camp exhibited another monetary phenomenon, that of bad money driving good money out of circulation. Cigarettes were also subject to the working of what we know as Gresham's Law. Certain brands were more popular than others as smokes, but for currency purposes, a cigarette was a cigarette. And consequently, buyers used the poorer qualities of the shop, rarely saw the more popular brands. The shop rarely saw more popular brands. Cigarettes such as Churchman's Number One. Now, you might be able to ask your fathers and grandfathers about that. They were rarely used for trading. At one time, cigarettes hand-rolled from pipe tobacco, and they began to circulate. Now, pipe tobacco was issued in lieu of cigarettes by the Red Cross at a rate of 25 cigarettes to the ounce, and that rate was standard in exchanges. But an ounce would produce 30 homemade cigarettes. Naturally, people with machine-made cigarettes broke them down and re-rolled the tobacco, and the real cigarette virtually disappeared from the market. Hand-rolled cigarettes were not homogeneous. Prices could no longer be quoted in them with safety. Each cigarette was examined before it was accepted. Thin ones were rejected or extra demanded as a make-weight. For a time, we suffered all the inconveniences of a debased currency. Now, Gresham's Law, incidentally, is why the idea you sometimes read that different currencies should be allowed to compete side by side is probably a non-starter. Advocates of this idea seem to think this could be a route back to some kind of gold standard, as people naturally gravitate towards harder money. Gresham's Law suggests that they're wrong. People would spend the bad and hoard the good only when no one accepted the bad as payment would the good money circulate. And so anyone hoping that some kind of a gold standard might replace our current monetary system will probably need to wait until after the collapse. Let's go back to the cigarettes for a few minutes. One reason cited for their use as currency in POW camps was their relative durability. Gold, of course, is, as we mentioned, far more durable. Another reason, it's a monetary metal. Gold is inert. It does not rust. Doesn't do much of anything, really. Only a small proportion of global gold demand, less than 10%, is actually used for industrial purposes. The fact is, led to some to suggest that gold has no intrinsic value. Gold only has value, my friends, because it is generally agreed to have value. If the fools who buy it decided to buy something else instead, the argument goes, then gold would be worthless. That's the barbarous relic view of gold, the idea that its value is a quirk of historical custom and nothing more. But as it turns out, gold's relative uselessness in another feather in its cap when it comes to outperforming the functions of money. I look at that and consider some of the stories that we used to tell, and some of it was in commercials in the old days, some of it was just in general discussion, keeping in mind that an ounce of gold today will buy an exceedingly high quality suit of men's clothing, just as it did back in the Roman times. Obviously, the quality of clothing and the way it's manufactured and tailored and everything else is considerably different, but we could sit there and do some other mathematics and show you how many ounces of gold it would have taken to buy a 1972 Impala versus a 2017 Impala. Oh, yeah, they still manufacture an automobile with that name on it. It turns out gold's relative uselessness is another feather in its cap when it comes to performing the functions of money. We return to the words of Radford. As he discussed cigarettes, machine-made cigarettes were always universally acceptable, both for what they would buy and for themselves. That sounds very much like an ounce of gold situation. An ounce of gold is always universally acceptable, both for what it would buy and in it of itself. Radford continues, it was this intrinsic value which gave rise to their principal disadvantage as currency. A disadvantage which exists, but to a far smaller extent, in the case of metallic currency. That is, a strong demand for non-monetary purposes. Consequently, our economy was repeatedly subject to deflation and to periods of monetary stringency. It's been a long day. I'm tripping over my tongue a bit. If your money is going to work as a store of value, no matter what that form of money is, it helps if you can't smoke it or otherwise destroy it, wouldn't you think? But once again, the gulags may be before us. Maybe we'll have smokes. Maybe we won't. Maybe you don't smoke. I do. During the break, I have to go outside and check on the camel. Why does gold have value? Some of it's perception. Part of it is because it has lasted for 5,000-6,000 years. Oh, it's not traditionally used on a daily basis for barter and trade and purchases, but I guarantee if you walk into a shop to get a new transmission or an overhaul and you say, look, I don't have any cash in the bank. I don't have money under my mattress, but I've got an ounce of gold, or I've got an ounce and a quarter if you've got to overhaul an engine. You think the guy would decline it? No, I doubt it very much. If he does, he's an idiot. He might call the pawn shop. Don't deal with pawn shops, by the way. They're an absolute ripoff. So let's try to answer the question that we posed earlier. Why does gold have value? To the first, the reason some people say gold is money is because it has properties that make it uniquely well-suited to that function. It can be used as a unit account, a medium of exchange, then so can many other things in principle. But gold has one extra advantage in that it is relatively portable. By that, I mean you can store a good deal of value in small units and ship them from place to place. I have a better story. How many years ago did Hurricane Katrina take place? I had a client that I dealt with back in 1891 who acquired some 100-ounce silver bars, all of which were, you know, clearly marked with serial numbers in the whole nine yards. He also acquired a good bit of gold from me, typically quarter-ounce pieces. There might have been some tenths, but then I know there was a few one-ounce gold pieces. But the quarter-ounce pieces all fit into a tube. When Hurricane Katrina hit and they were forced to evacuate, they were fortunate. They didn't get stuck on a bus and shipped off to wherever the bus wanted to go to. They were able to vacate New Orleans and go up to the Atlanta area to live with his sister and their family for a while. When he got back, all of his silver was gone. This was about a year later, eight months to a year later, when he was allowed to return. And all of his silver bars were gone. And that is when he called me and said, Jeff, do you have any records as to what I bought, serial numbers, anything that could be tracked, traced, followed, whatever the case may be? We suspect it was probably the local gendarmes that grabbed his goods. But after so many years, I'm not required to maintain records, and that is literally for his ultimate privacy. But even if he had found them, I guarantee they would have been damaged, they would have been smelted down, recast, whatever the case may be. So obviously the devastation of the loss of the silver was pretty intense. I think there were 500 or 600 ounce bars. But, you know, back in the early 90s, silver was 3.5, 4, 4.5 a piece. That was about it. What saved his bacon is he was able to leave New Orleans with his family and his gold. His little tubes of gold were able to fit into his pocket. That, my friends, is portability. That is exceptionally important. I have people that have come to me and come to us through RBN and Republic Trading Group, etc., and through my firm for many, many years, that they just want to keep buying more silver, more silver, more silver. And that's great, because it's spendable, smaller units, etc. When we come back from the break, I want to finish that story, and then I want to conclude our discussion of cigarettes and gold. And, oh yes, cryptocurrencies enters into this story, too. We'll be back in a few.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Jeff Bennett here, second hour, National Intel Report. We're talking economics. That is why we're here. And that is basically all I will talk about. I'll be here with you each Tuesday and Thursday evening at this time slot. And we're out to help RBN get back to doing what they do best. It's not that they've been avoiding things, but it's been an interesting couple of years since John and I parted company in October of 2014, and they've not done particularly well in the arena of precious metal sales, marketing, preparedness for our listeners, etc., and that is why I am back here. As I mentioned earlier, I've got many, many years, both professional and personal experience in this field. And I have watched over the last several years so many companies just go out of business. And some of them got caught with their pants down. Some of them got caught involved with tax fraud. Some just were taking all sorts of people's money and not delivering products. One of the biggest small wholesale companies in the country just disappeared to the tune of $25, $30 million worth of clients' money that they will probably never see back. Before the break, and I know we've only got a couple moments here, we were talking about what had happened after Hurricane Katrina, and our client had this ability to move this gold. And I began to mention the number of people that buy multitudes of silver. I have no doubt in my mind, from personal experience, that when the markets eventually move, I don't care when they move, but when they eventually move upwards and everything, you know, silver goes back to $30, $40, $50 an ounce, wherever it's going to land, silver will outperform gold. But you see, that's when we're looking at it as an investment to get a return. And that's fine. Our problem is to separate that issue from looking at an investment for security. You can have both, but you've got to understand how to do it. These are the things we're going to try to get you through so you understand both sides of the issue. But think about this. If you've got one, two, three, four bags of junk silver, which weigh 35, 40 pounds a piece, and, you know, all of a sudden you've got to vacate because of floods, fires, or hurricanes, earthquakes, whatever the case may happen to be, and you've got a choice of taking, and you only get one choice. You can take two bags of silver or four bags of silver, or you get to take your 60-pound great-grandchild. Which one are you going to do? For me, the grandchild, and I've got three of them living with me. Those grandchildren mean more to me than any gold, any silver, etc. They're always going to come first. The cool thing with gold is I can take them both. The neat thing is we can slip a tube into their back pocket too. Think about it in those terms. So gold does have this extra advantage of being not just relatively portable, but very portable. Being durable, of course, helps too, as done being homogeneous. Diamonds. I know some people will start doing some things with diamonds, but they're not a very good form of currency because they're all different. What sets gold apart is that it combines all the previously mentioned attributes with being tightly controlled by nature. As to the second question, should we ignore gold because it is considered useless? The answer is absolutely no. In fact, the dearth of competing uses for gold could be seen as an advantage in the case for its use as money. In short, gold has value because it is better suited than anything else on earth for performing the functions of money, including that of being a store of value. I spent many years talking up the advantages of gold as money, not to say that there are not potential setbacks or drawbacks. One is the potential for deflation if the supply of gold outstrips the supply of money. And that is a phenomenon observed in the POW camps by Radford. And yet, I hope I've got some way towards answering the perennial question of why gold, a shiny metal of little obvious utility, has been highly valued throughout recorded history. But now we have another question. But Bennett, what about cryptocurrencies? Man, my brother-in-law is making so much money with those. Well, let's consider the properties that Radford laid out in his paper on cigarettes. Cigarettes, he argued, performed the function of money in POW camps because they were homogeneous. They were reasonably durable and of convenient size for the smallest or in packets for the largest transactions. We'll be back. Stay on this thing. Cryptocurrencies is going to be the topic of the next set.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out? School, that's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out? At school, that's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out?
Good to be here. Glad to have all of you out there. There is the feasibility that some of you listening, few or many of you, are not accustomed to tuning into this network and listening to economic programs. It's not that John doesn't touch on them, because he certainly does. How much economics in our economic world and the protecting your wealth mentality, as it were, is discussed by talk show hosts here, I do not know. I don't attempt to emulate or duplicate what others have done, either on this network or elsewhere. I have my way of sharing information and hopefully getting you to think outside the normal box. And that is what we try to do here. So we've talked a bit about gold. We've talked about cigarettes. All of this continues to intertwine. But there's been so much about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin and others that are coming out. I think I mentioned on this program last week with John, earlier this week, it was Tuesday, that Bitcoin, there's a Bitcoin dealer per se. A dealer, what? There's no coin. It's all digit currencies. Has basically shut down in two states, preventing people from gaining access to their Bitcoin value. These are the things that should be of concern. If you can't take physical possession of something, then frankly, it's worthless to you. Think about what I was trying to teach people back in the mid-90s when it comes down to buying a stock or a bond, and your broker, they want to hold them for your safety and security. The argument being you don't ever have to worry about it being stolen. We'll hold your securities here. If you ever decide to liquidate, you know, you're not going to have to worry about overnighting it to us and all this business. The problem with those are your name never even appeared on those securities. And I begin to stir up our audience to say, get a hold of your broker and demand those things be issued in your name and submitted to you. It's still a piece of paper. Well, the only paper we've talked about here today is rolling paper for cigarettes. Remember something about cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin and others. They are that. They are purely electronic. They don't face the same durability challenge that physical money does. Well, they're also divisible. You can buy fractions of a Bitcoin. Well, we can buy fractions of a real piece of gold, too. But that leaves homogeneity. Now there's the upcoming fork, which could see Bitcoin split into two different currencies, notwithstanding the fork, you know, the fork in the road, which may or may not turn out to be an issue. A Bitcoin is a Bitcoin is a Bitcoin. So we can tick the homogeneity box so long as we're talking just about one particular cryptocurrency. But where it begins to get trickier is when we consider the fact that there are hundreds and hundreds of the damn things out there. And that could come to manner. Oh, you've predominantly heard about Bitcoin, but you've not heard about some of the others. It's getting to be a bit of a scam. What if Bitcoin is replaced as the preeminent crypto by, say, Ether or Litecoin or any of the other hundreds of cryptos? Each crypto may be homogeneous in and of itself, but the crypto universe is extremely heterogeneous. So let's now turn to the three classic characteristics of money: a unit of account, a medium of exchange, and a store of value. Well, crypto clears the first hurdle pretty easily. It is a unit of account. Maybe they clear the second hurdle, a medium of exchange. The use of cryptocurrencies to actually buy and sell stuff may be very niche, but it's happening, especially for dodgy stuff on the dark web, so I'm being given to understand. It's the store of value thing that stumps me. And it's a stumper for gold, too, by the way, for some people. How can something so volatile, and gold is reasonably volatile, but most of gold's volatility is not so much the gold itself, it's the manipulation on Wall Street through ETFs and paper gold. But what happens if crypto does leave it for dust? How can one label all this stuff a store of value? I guess the ideal store of value is one where you can park $1,000 in it today and know that it'll have $1,000 of purchasing power at any point in the future. Quite what that would actually mean in practice, of course, is another matter. No amount of purchasing power 40 years ago would have let you benefit from some of today's technologies. But I guess the pragmatic answer is that a store of value retains some substantial value over the long haul. And that's not so different from where you started to mean a major challenge to your standard of living. But here's where I reckon that gold has the edge, based on its length of track record. And that is something gold has. Gold has had a value, sometimes less, sometimes more, for thousands of years. Cryptocurrencies have been around for less than a decade. Oh, but, you know, the more serious cryptos have a built-in limited supply that beats even gold's claims to scarcity. Yeah, but new deposits can always be found, right? new fiat dollars can always be found. They can print more, stamp more. It's all on paper. It's a digit. You have no money in a bank. You've got a digit in a bank. What we don't know about cryptocurrencies, because it's not been tested, is whether there will be a demand for cryptos and will it persist? They may turn out to be a fad. Something would be hard to level at gold for all its price volatility. Maybe I'm asking the wrong question here. Maybe I don't get it. Perhaps we should be thinking not in terms of new currency, but as some have argued, a new asset class. I remember posting a piece on one of my websites a month or so ago that stated if you had put $75 into Bitcoin when it first started out, the stuff is now somewhere in the $3,000 per Bitcoin range. But that's on paper. What happens if it collapses tomorrow? Well, maybe you've still made a ton of money. Maybe you've still gone up 10, 20 times. But in the overall scheme of things, the government keeps digging into it. You remember a few years ago, there was this thing called carrot bars. And carrot bars started making all the alternative medias. Boy, they were pushing them. And I think I shared the story the other day, of the carrot bar story, when John and I were on Tuesday. A woman who, in July of 2014, just in the carrot bar segment alone, bought $60,000 worth of 1 gram gold pieces. They come the size of a business card. There's 50 grams on that little business card. You can snap them off. If she had purchased the same exact $60,000 worth of product that she acquired from me, if she had made that same exact purchase through Carrot Bar International, she would have had to spend $28,000 more. That is a scam. This is where I have problems. Oh, but we don't have to take the actual gold. You can leave it on a Visa or a MasterCard, and we guarantee complete privacy and autonomy. Once it hits the Visa MasterCard world, folks, there ain't no autonomy. There is no privacy. Sidestep. There are some of you out there listening tonight that began to purchase gold in the early 2000s when it was as low as $250 an ounce. Silver was in the low $4 range. Through 2010, we witnessed both of those metals grow to amazing levels. And then since then, 7 years later, we've all witnessed the retreat, the continual yo-yo action through the manipulation known as the Wall Street Shuffle. And yet I believe that many of our clients are still well ahead of the curve. But what about the future? I'm often asked, what do you think that gold and silver are going to do in the future? The answer is more pointed than that, my friends. What do you think that the dollar is going to do in the future? I hate to say it, but the answer to that has never changed. You take a look at what your parents, your grandparents paid to buy a home so many years ago. My mother bought a post-World War II home, brand new built. Now, it was in the late 50s, but she acquired that house for $22,500, three-bedroom home, one bathroom, huge backyard, and I know because I had to mow the sucker. $2,500 more, you could have bought the same exact house with a basement in it. Mom's had a crawl space, which as a kid I could still sit up in. But the other house had a basement. Same floor plan, same layout, but it had a basement. Those houses, 15 years ago, sold for well in excess of $250,000, over 10 times what they'd originally cost in the late 1950s. Today, we continue to face government-manipulated figures in unemployment, underemployment, inflation, and more. And based on our current population, we have the largest number of unemployed that this nation has ever seen. And there's very few meaningful jobs on site, only a compendium of part-time jobs. My daughter's complaining. She can't get a quality full-time job. She's working two part-time jobs with horrendously erratic hours. They don't ever have to provide benefits, no insurance, no 401ks, no nothing. Our children and grandchildren are graduating college with $100,000 plus debts and no prospect for real work. How many kids do I see graduate? They can't even get a job as a dishwasher at Denny's. because some low-life illegals got that job. Taxes continue to increase. The cost of food has surpassed the government's misstated inflation figures. So now we can sup on chemically engineered GMO foods with little or no nutritional value. Lord knows how much poison. And when and where does it all end? We are paying higher prices at the market to purchase foods that are just killing us. They're making us sick. Interesting things to consider, is it not? Back to our original question. Back before we get there, let's give you some market updates for the day. Interesting, ever since the discussion about potential saber rattling going on with North Korea, we began to watch things slip a little bit. Dow Jones Industrial down 0.93%. Well, that was the futures. Dow Jones Industrial lost 204.69 points today to close at 21,844. S&P 500 down 35.81 at 2438. NASDAQ closed down 135 plus points today to end the day at 62.16. The global Dow, yeah, it's one I'd paid not an awful lot of attention to. What did the metal markets do? That was the surprise of the day in so many respects. Rhodium flat, $940 an ounce. Palladium flat at $888. Platinum flat at $980 an ounce. Silver up 2 cents at $1,712. Gold up 90 cents. This is the aftermarket, by the way. At $1,286.70. Things are happening. Gold just a week ago was sitting at $1,259. We're at $1,286 right now. Now, keep in mind, those figures are based on, as I mentioned on the program the other day, there is a bid-ask spread, a wholesale retail figure. I've never seen them so close as they are right now, that so-called bid-ask spread. But I also have to say this. That would be cool. Every one of those can help, man. Thanks a lot, Mike. I become ever so frustrated watching the market manipulations, but I had a gentleman, a client the other day who called, we may have talked about this, who had about $100,000 to spend. He wanted gold. He's a client I've dealt with for many years. His sister used to be my secretary. And I said, okay, fine. Called the biggest supplier in the country. I've had an account with him for over a quarter of a century, and he gave me a price which surprised me. I felt that the spreads were a little bit high, considering what the market typically is right now. But I got his figures. They were acceptable, but I called my other guy in Southern California, and he beat them by 0.75 points. And when you're spending $100,000 or $10,000 or $1,000 or $50,000, whatever it is you're looking to convert into real money, something that will be around to take care of you when you need it, you keep it in cash or the safe or in a box under your bed. I guarantee you, $20 here for Mickey D's. Let's get a pizza delivered. Honey, I've had a bad day. Let's go pick us up a bottle of Jack Daniels. The cash is going to be gone. Having gold and silver, having precious metals, I'm not real hot to pull a quarter ounce piece out and liquidate it. I just kind of go do without. Back to our original question. What were your original reasons for acquiring gold, silver, and platinum? For most of us, we understood the importance of saving for a rainy day. For many people, that rainy day has come. As during the past few years, I've had to assist many of our clients with liquidation of some of their goods. Folks have lost their home. Their extended families maybe had to move back in with them, or they've had to replace engines in older vehicles, or have had medical emergencies. And on at least two occasions, clients had a major tax burden to be met. But the original reasons they acquired precious metals was to prepare for that proverbial rainy day when the need came about. They had their financial umbrella to fall back on. And in most cases, we've been there for them. If I wasn't, that's because I wasn't around. Couldn't be reached. I might have been out of the country. Might have been down at the beach languishing and trying to enjoy myself for a couple hours. So what does the future hold for this country? What does the future hold around the world, I think I'd have to ask. Much like the past, I assume. With the exception that it's going to get much worse before it ever gets better. If it ever gets better. We here at Republic Broadcasting welcome the opportunity to continue to be a part of your planning, whether you're buying, selling, or trading, or if you just want to give us a call and say hello from time to time. We're still premier dealers in all things gold, silver, and platinum. And we're specialists in the field of precious metals, IRAs. And if you need or want to, we're here to assist with a liquidation if needed. Whether you've heard me on the air for a number of years or not is not the issue. We've continued to serve our clients, my clients, in the strictest of privacy. There are those of you who may be receiving a letter in the next few days via email, which is basically a good portion of what I'm sharing with you here on the air today. Some of you folks did begin to buy metals from us back in the mid to late 1990s. Others continue to support our endeavors. Many continue to do business with us over the years because of our long-standing relationship with our clientele. I'd like to think it's because you trusted us. You may not have thought about it, but we were helping people prepare before any of the current run of alternative networks even existed. And most of them are gone. RBN's still here, and I'm still here to serve you. I hope you'll take all of this into serious consideration. From this point on, my firm, Kettle Marine Limited, will be representing the interests of Republic Broadcasting Network. If you should make the decision to trade with us, you'll be contacting me directly through Kettle Marine. I have a dedicated phone number for RBN listeners and clientele. And that phone number is 602-909-8691. 602-909-8691. You can also email me at gold, and this is a tough one, at Kettle Moraine, that's KettleMoraine, preciousmetals.com. You can email me through there. I will wind up having a separate email set up in the very near future, the next few days, specifically for RBN clients. I want them separated from clientele that I've had for many years, and I will take care of RBN. That has been the focus. That's been the goal. I'm looking forward to once again working with many of the former clients of Republic Trading Group and its subsidiary, RBN, or RBN and its subsidiary, Republic Trading Group, as well as newer listeners. We're maybe beginning to finally understand what the future holds for all of us. Want to take necessary steps to protect, preserve all that you have now before it's too late. I will be here each Tuesday and Thursday hosting John Stadtmuller's National Intel Report. We're still trying to come up with a segment name. I say we may use Protecting Your Wealth, Between the Lines, something of that nature. And I hope to see you each Tuesday and Thursday here on the airwaves. It's going to be interesting. Now, for fun, the piece on cigarettes and the POW camps, if you were to go to our site here in about 10, 12 minutes, it's Kettle, more a kettle just like a pot and a pan and a kettle, KettleMoraine, preciousmetals.com. We will have banners up on the RBN website here shortly. We're working on that. You're going to see that column pop up. German POW camp reveals the power of Bitcoin. Very, very interesting. It really cuts both ways, both sides of the issue. There is another piece that is also going to post, which is a very imperative one. I had expected to get to it today, but I'm having to do some different timing for what I'm accustomed to doing. The headline is entitled, "With Two Potential Crises, Buy Gold in Case Things Go Badly." That's a good one. There's one other one that will also be popping up at that point in time. You'll see the top three articles, which will be coming up just after airtime this evening. And we'll try to keep you busy. Kettle Marine Precious Metals duplicates much of the kind of work I did here at RBN before. We sometimes go in and post a series of headlines. Other times we go in and post real full-blown articles. Some of the headlines that were posted last night, consumers being gouged on credit card debt. Private digital currency bubble keeps growing. Watch that. Seven billionaires are worried about a stock market crash. Seven billionaires. Jeff Gundelach, Carl Icahn, Howard Marks, Warren Buffett, George Soros, David Tepper, and Paul Singer. Seven billionaires around the world are worried about a stock market correction in this country. Headline, flat tax is not more efficient than a tax system with loopholes. Gold is the answer to economic woes. Another one, why you should own some silver as well as gold. How high will the silver prices go? 100, 300, 500 an ounce? Well, I commented on that kind of thing with John on Tuesday. Anytime I start reading those kind of things, I start to smile a little bit. Okay, it's not to say that at some point in time in the future, we're not going to see those kind of numbers. I don't think they'll be in our lifetime, but I've been wrong before. How about you? Headline, five red flags of imminent economic collapse. Headline, silver investment outperform gold in this major sector. And here's the one that I had so much fun reading last night. The $5 trillion time bomb, which will devastate Americans. And what it has to do with 47% of the people in Illinois say they want to leave that state. Gee, I wonder why. Rahm Emanuel, his policies. I read a piece the other day that said, bring Richard J. Daley back. It was the city that worked. And let's face it, the city of Chicago is what runs the state of Illinois. Anyway, once again, I'm Jeffrey Bennett. I'm here to service your needs, to answer your questions, anything that relates to precious metals. If you've got some, if you want to talk to me about what you have, let me do an assessment for you. There's no charge for me to do that. Once again, it can be reached at 602-909-8691. That phone line is dedicated to the business of Republic Broadcasting Network and what we'll be doing with and for John and the network. It's growth time. It's maintenance time. It's here for us to work together to find the common ground to survive. That's what we're going to try to do. So I thank you. I don't know what our timing is, Mike, and how much more we've got to go. We got about 2 minutes. We rap in 2 minutes. Music in one. Okay, that's cool. I got to get used to the time clock, folks. It's been, like I say, it's been 3 years. So that's it. There maybe those of you who have, you're retired now, you've got a 401k, you've got IRAs that you think may have run their course, you're getting a little wiggy, a little nervous about the manipulation of Wall Street. Maybe you want to convert a portion or all of those into a privately held individual retirement account or Roth account that will allow you to physically have gold, silver, and platinum in it. And I've been managing these type of accounts since 1991, and very few of the people have pulled out. But you know what? I've got a client who moved to England. His wife's become very ill. He is being forced to withdraw the assets out of that account about every quarter just to be able to maintain her health situation. Once again, it came down to the rainy day factor, and that's why it's here. That's the reason you buy it, not to get rich quick, not to make a ton of money. It's to make sure you don't go broke and have nothing. Those who own their products and own it in a private fashion, I'm not required to report what you buy. I'm not required to report what you sell in most instances. So we're out of time for today. I'll see you next Tuesday, but you've got the phone number, 602-909-8691. I am located in the Pacific time zone. That's less of a problem for you to call me tonight. Please don't call me at Eastern time tomorrow morning, because then it's 6 o'clock in the morning my time, and I'm probably just waking up. Take care of yourselves. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.